Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Fiona. Oh, Zachary. Yes, of the Orphans podcast. Hello. Oh, you look lovely. Just like her. Come on, just put that bit on. Here's your glasses.
Can I ask you, why do you want me to wear these things?
I just thought, you know, to make the transition easier, you could, you know, just dress up as Fiona for the listeners.
But this is audio. They won't get the visual explosion of the sensible hand wash only warm cardigan or smooth satin tights. And did she really wear a corset?
You never licked. Come on, get those Spanx on properly. Pull them up.
Don't hurry me, Sarah.
Oh, come on, we just need to crack on with this horror episode.
I said, don't rush me. You won't like what happens if you rush me.
Oh, good Lord, you've ruined that corset. Nice doggy. Good doggy. Sit. 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 Oh, the horror.
Hello, and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Zachary Fortis-Gom.
And I'm Sarah, and welcome hugely to Zachary from the Orphans Podcast for this 11th hour special. And before we talk about that, Zachary, welcome. Will you tell us a little bit about you and how did you get into this crazy podcasting adventure?
Well, I premiered The Orphans about 2 years ago in May, I think. Yeah, about 2 years ago in May.
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. It's nuts. I know. 2 years ago in May, and it's kind of skyrocketed since then. We've just finished our first spin-off series, The Orphans Facility, which is very exciting.
Superb series. You must go and download it and binge it as soon as this finishes.
It's all out.
Both of them wonderful series. Yes. And they're very different, aren't they, in their atmospheres and general...
I mean, incredibly different. Like, the first season is very much like a thriller and, like you said, big horror aspects in gore and zombies and action. Mm. And then Facility kind of pulls this all back and we go from having kind of this big cast to having, you know, maximum like 3 people in an episode, really, and having really quite cerebral moments and quiet, very tense moments.
So there is elements of horror within it, because we were just off mic discussing, because I thought just from the title of The Orphans, it kind of did conjure up to me that this is definitely horror because of the horrible films my husband has subjected me to watching over the years. And so already just by association, I think, which is quite interesting, you kind of assume things from a title. I found more interesting when you said, well, when I said about horror, what did you say?
I said, well, would you really classify it as a horror? And it was that thing of like me when I was writing the show, I didn't necessarily write it thinking, oh, this is going to be a horror. Mm. We're going to scare people. Ooh, spoopy. I've heard a few people actually kind of classify it as a horror, and I think, well, that's very interesting. People have kind of taken my work and they've brought their own interpretations to it and made it something more than what I originally anticipated, which is beautiful.
How wonderful is that? Yes, and that is very fascinating for, I think, authors and creatives to kind of let go of things like that, because I'm sure that some people will be going, no, this is a horror and it's going to be, it's not a comedy. Why are you laughing?
No,
I think that's a really interesting point with the fluidity as well of each individual's listening experience as to what you take away from it. Because do you listen to a lot of horror yourself?
Absolutely. I kind of wasn't as aware of horror before kind of getting into the AD world. I say that, actually. What got me into the audio drama world was Casey Whelan's We're Alive.
Ah, yes. Superb series.
Which, of course, is zombie post-apocalyptic. Fantastic. Absolutely amazing. And that scared the, you know, bad words out of me. You know, that the way that show kind of took zombies kind of similarly to how I'm going to make a film reference on an audio drama show. I'm really sorry.
You're allowed. Just okay.
In the same way that kind of the original Dawn of the Dead took zombies and made it 28 yeah. days later, took it and they made it even scarier. I feel like We Are Alive did that and they made them work in an oral medium, which is so exciting when like you take this thing that you're like, oh, this couldn't possibly work in an oral medium, and suddenly he does it and it's like, whoa, it just blows my mind. It's fantastic.
It's fascinating as well, isn't it? Because probably most people coming to We're Alive have seen some amazing zombie horrors in filmic form or on the telly as well. And so you already got certain images, I guess, in your mind. So your brain can then make them so much worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Depending on how you work. But I'm sure, yeah, most people in AD's brains just do terrible things.
No, it's really true. Like, we can paint a picture as much as we want, but you know, I've had actors as well come back and say like, oh, this awful disgusting thing you have in this script, and I look and I say, where in the script does it say that? and we go back and sure as hell it's not there. This is something they've put into their mind.
Amazing.
And I can take and be like, well, I'll use that.
Yeah, the power of words written on the script, making other things up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because we asked our forum and on Twitter just to give us some feedback of what are their kind of top few audio dramas. And I think it was really interesting, the kind of range of stuff. So good old Pete Lutz has suggested Lights Out, Quiet Please and Inner Sanctum, which are some OTR shows that... old-time radio shows that, as he says, really knew how to bring about psychological horror. And I do love
that. Which is a really important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a massive Hitchcock fan in my world. And
of course.
I haven't, obviously, with most of those scripts that he has, it's quite difficult to perhaps create those stories and audio. But yeah, I just do love that psychological horror. I think that's what my favourite kind of genre within that is. But he also says that we need a new horror podcast that will employ a host like Raymond from Inner Sanctum, who introduces the show with some corny wheezes of an eerie nature, then leaves to let the story unfold.
If we had a Tales from the Crypt, yeah.
Yeah, because I was brought up with those as well, the kind of Tales from the Crypt of era and the Hammer House of kitsch, because I got married in the Hammer House of Horror house.
Oh my goodness.
As I say, my husband is a massive horror fan. So yes, we were in the rooms where monks had chased nuns and vampires and all sorts of happened. And I just think that there is that kind of kitsch time of camp horror that I'm still very fond of, because that's what was all around the television when I was younger, I guess.
Yeah, no,
but,
absolutely.
I mean, what do you feel that there's other elements that you feel might be missing?
I kind of agree with you. Now, this might be my lack of knowing where these shows are. Maybe they do exist and I just haven't found them yet. But I could use some more really psychological stories that aren't necessarily supernatural. I would love to see some, you know, it's funny coming from me, the sci-fi writer. But I would love to see just a really... a psychological horror, pulling on like Fatal Attraction. You know, that film, the havoc he wreaks and the terror that performance gives is so powerful.
Yeah.
That can change you more than any kind of monster that goes bump in the night, I think, because that connects to your everyday.
Yeah, I know there's a couple coming out soon that might possibly fill that gap. But yeah, I mean, I Steve Cardinal wrote about Tribulation, which I was one of my favourite things
I'd
I've heard this
hear
year.
Those.
I don't know if you've caught that one.
No,
it's kind of like with the cult issue and an unexplained sort of supernatural type events as well, which unfolded just so beautifully, and the soundscaping of that, and the just the absolute immersion in the terror of what was happening to these characters, I think was beautifully done and very well acted. So yeah, if you haven't caught Tribulation, I think I totally agree with Steve.
I saw Steve say it there, Tribulations. Okay, I will give that a listen, actually.
Yeah, do we? But and I don't know if you want to enlighten people on Matthew Boudreau's opinions as well.
Matthew, he's said that apparently that there's so much good horror out there that needs to be shared. And I feel we're barely brushing the surface of the great horror audio drama out there, which I agree with. There's so much horror out there right now. I struggle to keep up, but there's so many horror shows that sound so amazing that I just want to listen to, but I don't have the time. He comes up with Campfire Radio Theater by John Ballantyne.
Yeah.
We had on Creepy when I was working, we had one of their previews on, and I was like, oh, yes. I never got around to it.
I love those. Yeah, you're always going to get a good show with Campfire, for sure.
Grist Mill series. I've not heard of that, but it's phenomenal. Body horror. That's something. That, how do you do that in AD? Yeah.
You'll have to listen and find out.
That's really interesting. Scott has been around some time, and I'm surprised none of the AD veterans have made mention of him, considering how influential he is on modern audio drama. And you know what? I haven't heard of him either. I'll look into him.
Superb.
I'm copying that name right now. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew.
And then he also mentions Wireless, which I absolutely love. And if people, again, haven't cottoned on to the mountain of range of stuff available there, from kids shows to full-on, full-cast, amazing, everything you could possibly want to listen to, it's all there. And
their catalogue.
Yeah, it's
massive.
Beautifully wonderful. And the Spring-Heeled Jack and the Binaural Autopsy, it just jarred with me, that one. And that's one of my personal terrors. And I know you've probably seen all of those beautiful, I guess, Mr. King books brought to life in films and series.
Yes.
And, you know, that whole peril of being alive and things, people thinking you're not, is just amazing. So you must definitely delve into some beautiful Wireless
Death Camp. Binaural Autopsy?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that sounds it really
is, it's
cool.
It is, awesome. So, yes, enjoy.
We've had a lot of great responses.
Yes. And the illustrious Paul Sitting has said, I haven't heard anything that scares me. To be honest, I'm not being flippant, just honest. And that just sums you up beautifully. So come on, people, we need to work harder to scare Paul Sitting, who obviously is in the midst of horrors. I know he's got Diary of a Madman about to, pierce your ears with some crazy London Kareem Crumfley. I'm scared by everything that he does at the minute. And the beautifully psychological Subject Found Season 2, which I'm very excited to have an equal part in as well. So I know what happens and I'm scared.
Oh, no.
So, yes.
And also, Thoreau Smiley has recommended the Blood Crow stories, as well. Mm. Steve Blizzen has recommended A Ghost in the Burbs. Mm. And finally, we have Andy Wardlaw, who's recommended The Thing on the Forble Board.
Ooh, that sounds scary. I don't know that, so I'm going to Google Unfathomed, because I do love a bit of horror. It's my late night listen. And talking of scary stories, the whole point of this episode is also just to remind you of the wonderful work being done by lots of amazingly creative people across the world for the 11th Hour Audio Project, which happens every October. So there are 5 teams across the world who are working together to produce some fantastic scripts, and some of them I've been lucky enough to read already. I needn't tell you any more, because I spoke to Monique and Matthew Boudreau, who introduced it beautifully. So here they are. Hello and welcome to Matthew and Monique Boudreau. Hello.
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 Hello. And how are you this fine, fine evening? Are you working hard, is sweating away at creating some of all of the 11th Hour extravaganzas?
Yeah, working on that, working on a few other productions, working on 5 Levels of Fear, working on a couple of other things.
Yes, just to now sort of focus in on the 11th Hour extravaganza. Can you give us a little bit of history of how that started and what that's about and who is involved in instigating it?
Sure. So the first 11th Hour event we did was in 2015. I think we had 22 different people participating in it. It was a wonderful get together. Like, before we even got to work, we spent just a lot of time with a bunch of audio drama people in a coffee shop. And really, what's better? Yeah. So the reason we started it was because there were more and more people entering the world of audio drama, and a lot of them were interested in meeting other people, collaborating, and really, just forming a community that people could be a part of. So we set it up. Sydney Wieland was responsible for really, really promoting World Audio Drama Day. And since it coincided with Halloween, which is my favorite holiday of the year, we decided that those two things went together really nicely. And so we set it up for that. You know, World Audio Drama Day is all about getting the word out beyond the audio drama community into the ears of other listeners. So we got together in Lowell, Massachusetts. We recorded in Mill 5 and Rich and Wendy's backyard. And then it went into post-production, and the Vultures Over Love Doves was born.
So to answer your third question, with who, there's 22 participants. I have a list here. I can read them
off. Do you want a list?
Let me just read them off, and you can edit it out if you don't want
that. Go ahead, speed up. It's fine. Go for it.
Sure. So we had Justin Miranda, Rich Wentworth, Michael McCulkin, Sean Connery, Katie Harvey, Brian Lincoln, Steve Schneider, Scott Hickey, Sarah Golden, that's you, Keith Box, Matthew McCrae, Robert Cudmore, Owen McEwen, Sidney Newman, David Jarvis, me, Monique, John Carl. This is the problem with talking to people online, is I don't know how to pronounce their last names. It's either John Carl Toth or John Carl Toth. I'm not sure which. Is it Andrew Joe?
What a superb list of wonderful things. Yes, brilliant.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, and it was a great production. And I think that's what's awesome about it, is that, you know, the quality of it definitely shines through, and the passion that you had to make it, I think, is there in the essence of the product. Yay. So, yes, everyone jump on the show notes to have a look at the links we've put in, and you can definitely, as soon as this is finished, go and listen. So why then put that pressure on this month? Why have you... You've basically got a couple of rules, haven't you, which are the basic things that people need to adhere to. What are those two essential rules for the 11th hour?
So as far as the pressure goes, we modeled it after several things. I mean, first and foremost, it's modeled after intensive care, in which Monique and I had met up with Fred at Convergence, and we
Fred
Greenhalgh, I'm sorry. And we decided we kind of wanted to work on something together, just because... You know, we thought
it'd
be cool,
just for the fun of it,
because he's in Maine and Monique and I will road trip anywhere, especially if it's for a production. But we only had like a really small window that Fred had opened because he was working on The Cleansed at the time to record it. So that all happened like in the month of October that we recorded that.
Well, and we recorded it in one day.
we recorded it in one day and then spent 15, 20 days editing it.
Super.
That said, so it's kind of that NaNoWriMo and the 24-hour film festivals all had these like really impossibly short deadlines that are driven to force people to create, to stop thinking about what they're doing quite so much and just pure creation.
Yep.
You just have to do what you've got to do to patch this entire thing together and make it work. And that's the reason for the timing, is to just really put people together and just make them get really into that hyper creative zone.
And obviously collaboration. One of our rules is that you have to work with somebody else. You can't just, Oral Stage Studios can't just jump out there and make a show. You have to collaborate, because that's one of the whole points.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do this with a one person
and it would be painful to try to do it by yourself.
Yes.
So the other rules are, you have to create an original audio drama during the month of October. We do make exceptions for the script. You're allowed to write and edit your script before October, but everything else, recording, casting we're a little lenient on too.
We're flexible on casting.
Recording, music, editing, release, all of that has to be done in October. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, we really want, you know, regional teams, just because it makes it easier for everybody in New England to get together and create a show, and everybody in, say, the Pacific Northwest to get together and create a show. What's the other rule? Has to be horror.
Oh, yeah, has to be horror.
Yep. And it's October, so it just has to be horror. However, we do make exceptions. You can make horror comedy, romantic horror, sci-fi horror. As long as there's a horror element, it's good.
Superb. So with regards to last year, you had quite a beautiful array of productions. Do you want to talk about how that had developed from your first season?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a wonderful kind of evolution of the first year. I know, like, Steve Schneider especially got bit by the bug of making 11th Hour the first year and came to us, you know, to do Heavenly Deception.
Oh, and he did such a wonderful
and he
job.
Did, yeah, he did a fabulous job
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But in the background, and in the background, I had all these other people. So I think Austin Beach and Scott were the first two to come to us and say, yeah, hey, we'd like to do one of these. And then Dane Leonardson wanted to do one for the Midwest. And then suddenly we had Matthew McLean came to us from Scotland wanting to do one.
Yes.
And Pete Lutz in Texas worked with Sibby Wieland on one. And it was an unexpected exponential growth. And it's exciting that we've got teams this year that are joining on that haven't done this before. So it's really exciting that we're starting to see growth and change and development in this idea.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that. And I think collaboration is key. And I think what we are loving also about the audio drama community is that cross kind of pollination, isn't it, of groups and people and people yearning to want to help or be useful to other producers and production companies. So yes, it's very much a collaborative effort.
Well, I think also one of the key aspects is you're learning something from someone else. So everyone has... Mm-hmm. slightly differing processes for getting these shows made and getting them out into the world. And by working with other people, you learn how to improve your own process or maybe a new technique for doing something. None of us are perfect at this.
I learned something new from everybody that I've ever worked with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regardless of their level, I pick up something from them that like, oh, I like how you do that. Oh, I like how you do that. Oh, I'm going to incorporate that into my next show.
And you are a very experienced man, so that's very exciting to hear. And with regards to the scripting of it, you said that could happen before. I mean, can anybody approach you as the core company behind it with the script and get involved in this in future years or even if there's time this year?
Absolutely. You know, again, the rules are very simple. If you have a script and you can put together a cast and, you know, find somebody to collaborate with, if there are no, you know, we're not shunning anybody.
Hey, that's... Oh, please. Quite the opposite.
Yeah,
more.
Please
give us
do
more.
This.
Yes.
I'm a horror fanatic. And so being able to look forward to October 30th and just a pile of new original shows is so exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously with the shows that have been already, there's been a mixture of shows that people have done in studios and on location. I mean, do you want to talk about some of the challenges that have come out of that as well?
Well, the ones that we did were on location. So Vultures Overload Doves was on location. And otherwise, we've just played sort of peripheral roles in other people's shows. We really like to give them complete freedom to... Yep. do their thing.
Yeah, we don't really dictate the terms of how creatives create. That's not what 11th Hour is about, except to say that, you know, they should get together with somebody else. So, you know, you're A, meeting new people and B, learning new things from each other. And B, like the only reason I'm going to jump in on a production is if they're violating some sort of intellectual property law or something like that. Then I have to, because for legal reasons, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and yeah, we're legally accountable for anything, any copyright violations that come our way. So
sure,
yeah, especially since we play the show through Radio Drama Revival, who's supported by Wondery. So there's many levels where we have to make sure that this is original work.
Okay, yes, fantastic. And this year, I saw it in various places. You did a call for a submission of scripts. Did you get many sent via that kind of scheme?
So with the script repository, I had a question from, I think, like two different people that asked, even if they weren't, producing a show, could they submit their scripts? And I was like, wow, that's a really great idea. So I jumped on the website and created the repository, and I got one submission. But also, I didn't really advertise it except to just let people on Facebook and in the 11th Hour Facebook group to know that it was there. So, and anybody can submit a script. It just has to be horror and no more than 30 pages. Those are pretty much the only requirements for the scripts.
Yeah, I think our biggest weakness with 11th Hour is our administrative side. It's made up of three people. It's me, Monique, and Eli.
Okay. amazing. But you're gargantuan in the world, so it's fine. You can cope.
So little things get implemented when we can.
Yeah.
And we're trying to develop them, but it's like only three of us. Yeah. You can only do so much, especially with all the other projects that we're all involved in.
I don't remember when I put the script repository up there, but hopefully with now a year to come up with your 30 pages of horror, we'll get more submissions, because the idea is maybe we've got a production team, but they don't have a script, so it's, you know, scripts looking for a team kind of idea.
Any lost scripts or things you've written or want to write, that's definitely one place to put them, because I think the quality of the production teams that are around that are currently getting involved, you know, could hopefully produce something pretty amazing with anything that anybody writes. So yes, we'll put links to that definitely in the show notes. Let's get more. Let's get people getting more creative. It's amazing. And how is this financed then? So you say basically that people can... Yeah, I was wondering how loud that laughter was going to be.
Finance.
it's a purely, you know, at the moment, this is a purely voluntary event. It runs on nothing but passion.
Amazing. Well, that's a massive currency, isn't it?
Yeah. We did start this year. We did put a merch site up.
Yes.
Where you can buy t-shirts and stuff like that. And, you know, if we start generating some revenue off of that, we're hopefully looking to do that and maybe get some sponsors enough to, you know, pay for, like, so for the British crew, so you guys have a venue to record in.
That'd be amazing. You know,
pay for studio time with somebody in Britain, or pay for, you know, snacks.
Oh, always good.
Or, you know,
craft services or something.
Way in the sort of like wish I could future.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea of an annual. You know, group meetup event, like possibly on World Audio Drama Day. But those are plans that are, you know, dependent on many things.
Exciting. That I would love that. I mean, I think from last year as well, I think, you know, that it happens that they all then air, don't they, on the same day. And
yes,
it would be absolutely wonderful, wouldn't it, to just get your popcorn and a couple of beers together and have a good listen to some awesome audio drama with people
absolutely.
Who love it.
And again, people get to meet each other, talk about their craft, and, you know, that's what it's all about. Yeah,
I'm still convinced a few people are the same people, because I've never seen them in person. I've only heard them. And, you know, I know they're masters of voices, some of them. So yeah, I'm not convinced yet, especially all that audio oblivious crew. I think that's all one person.
Wait, isn't Monique supposed to be Scott? Wasn't that
I think, the other day, that was the thing. Person. Yeah,
I'm nowhere near as grand as Scott.
So there's basically currently voice acting and location hunting and all sorts of sound effects hunting going on with people trying to their very best to get things finished as soon as possible.
Or so we all hope. TikTok, people, TikTok.
Yes, come on. Crap that whip. So what happens when people have recorded their thing? What's the next phase of what happens? They send it to you?
So we don't, the recording is, well, I'm not going to say it's the first step, because obviously all the things you mentioned are a first step. So, but once it's recorded, it should go into post-production. You know, this is where the teams, you know, tap their composers, get the dialogue editor, do all that stuff that's involved in post-production. And then they have to get it to us by October 29th so we can have it set up to air on the 30th. Uh-huh. The 29th is the drop-dead date. Because past that, we don't have time to get it out to all the people and on all the RSS feeds that it's going to be on.
Yeah, I was going to say, so where exactly can people listen when it is the date?
Sure. So obviously, it'll be on Oral Stage Studios website and 11th Hour's website. And the 11th Hour website, you can go to and you can hear the past productions as well. So they're going to stay up there. Oral Stage has an RSS feed. We're registered with all the major podcast apps under Oral Stage Studios. So if you've got your, you know, Apple Podcast or
Last.fm.
Last.fm or whatever it is that you use.
Oral Stage Studios in the search engine, you'll generally find us.
Yeah. And then Radio Drama Revival has set aside the 30th, and they'll select, they won't be able to play all of them, but they'll select
usually one or two,
to play right on the 30th. A Radio Drama Revival is a fantastic sponsor for us because their listenership, you know, we're going to reach more people with their listenership.
Massive. Yeah, good, good. Through Wondery, I mean, yes. You know, they've got tendrils reaching out, haven't they, which is wonderful. I wish we had that over here, but we do the very best we can. And we do have a wonderful, actually, you know, burgeoning group of listeners who are getting bigger by the day currently. So hello to people who are, and I hope you get proactive in not just supporting by listening, but those of you that are kind of itching to make something and love horror.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is your opportunity to, if you listen to this year's, if you haven't heard, have a listen to the last few years and get cracking on this, because I think this could be something that people can really kind of snowball into making something a very cool yearly event. Because I mean, what would be your, I mean, we've talked about perhaps having a main event, but what would be your other kind of main aims for this to progress in the next few years?
Yeah, one of the big things I'd like to do, and I'm working on this already, is, you know, maybe getting some sponsors involved, like I was saying before, getting people who can, you know, maybe donate equipment or donate software or even donate, you know, maybe money. Hey, yes,
that'd be nice.
So that our teams can, you know, just have some resources to play with in order to put these productions together. Maybe, you know, buy yourselves a big pack of water to actually drink for your actors, that kind of thing.
Or yes, you could buy some 11th hour t-shirts from our merch site.
How exciting. If we're all wearing them now, they're beautiful.
Or so we hope.
Yes, you two could look this great.
Yeah, we got 11th hour t-shirts and 11th hour gear, like
sweatshirts and canvas bags. But yeah, that doesn't answer her actual question.
More teams. as far as your actual question goes, more teams
across the world and
anywhere.
Yeah, we have some blanks. Yeah. You know, we're missing in the United States. We'd like to have more representation from the Midwest. We don't have anybody on the West Coast involved yet, and I think that's a big void that we're missing, because we have some incredibly talented people on the West Coast. But because they're incredibly talented, they're also incredibly busy. So,
yeah. And Canadians, where are the Canadians? I know you've got Eli on the team, but, you know, come on.
Yep.
Yeah, we got Eli on the team, and he's like representing Canada for all of us, for everyone.
One Eli for all of Canada.
That's amazing. He can cope.
Eli's quite a bit to represent Canada with, though.
Especially with Sean backing him up.
Yeah,
Sean are an unstoppable team.
Super team.
We'd like to see some more people from, you know, Europe, yes, or the UK, or
Australia, you know, some
where
African
we're missing
teams,
Ireland and South Africa. Yes. You know, there's
come on, people of the world.
People.
Yes, right. We're gonna. This needs to be a hugely worldwide event. We need at least 10 countries represented next year, please.
And I am fully willing to play non-English speaking stuff. I just won't be able to like tell you whether it's any good.
You know what? That's the story of my life, folks. Just have a go, see what happens. Fantastic. And is there anything you'd like to say to encourage people to get involved? What should they do? Why should they do it?
Well, you know, the biggest reason, for one of the reason we started it, is we want people to get together and collaborate, because you just learn more. Your own work benefits from the things you learn by working with other people.
Sure.
And you can only get better through, you know, by collaborating, you can get better. I'm not going to say only, but
there are other ways
to improve your craft. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, even if you're at the sort of student stage or just learning something, you know, to have kind of an intern program like this potentially would be wonderful for you to see, you know, people who have been producing and doing things in action and hopefully, you know, glean some wonderful experience. So yes, if you're just starting out, that'd be amazing.
From our own experience, I can say that we started out doing solely studio recording. We swore by it because we had control. But by working with Fred and working with the New England team, we were forced to adopt field recording methods.
Which is funny, actually, because Fred has now gone to studio recording and he's like, oh no, I'm not letting go of this.
But, you know, we had to learn how to field record but in the benefit of field recording that we found is your characters are more, they exist bodily in that sense of space because you're all there. Where in the studio, The Matthew tends to control what space you're in, what it sounds like, what your body's doing. Yeah, so you have to let go.
Which is a lot of work for me, actually.
Yes.
Putting in all those footsteps manually is kind of a pain.
Footsteps, I think people who currently edit, that's all I hear is the bane of their lives, actually.
It's true.
Oh, they're monotonous, but oh, so necessary.
Yeah, people in so space, absolutely. And quite a few people we're talking to over the next few programs talk exactly about that as well. And script-wise, I mean, this year, obviously, there's a lovely abundance of different varieties. Is there anything you feel that you would love to see perhaps more of in the horror genre, type of horror script that you haven't really seen much of yet?
There hasn't been any werewolves yet.
And werewolves would be good.
I'd love to hear some werewolf. Sound intensive haunted house would be fabulous too.
That'd be fun. Yes. Especially a location recorded haunted house.
A location recorded haunted house would be amazing. And whether it's
so. Honestly, I don't get to read the scripts before we get the productions at the end of
Yeah, we're like, just as surprised as everybody else.
I don't know what. Titles, and I've got like a plot synopsis to go off of, and that's about all I've got from everyone. And that to me is exciting too, because then when I get them on the 29th, it's like all a surprise.
Yep.
Like I know what a couple of the scripts are about because I'm in them, I'm doing sound for Austin's crew this year, so
I'm doing artwork.
But in general, they don't send me scripts ahead of time, so and I don't require
it's like
them
a Christmas on Halloween.
And anything that could go fabulous or anything could go wrong, and that's kind of part of the excitement.
Amazing. So so if you do feel like joining in, then please check out the ones that have been done previously and this year's. Tune in on the day, enjoy the amazing array, and get horror juices flowing bloodily across the script, or some such words of better British language, which basically means get on with it. Yes,
get on the good foot.
So yes, well, thank you so much, both of you, for giving your time up to talk about it, and I can't wait to see other exciting things that people are producing, and we'll hear from them very shortly. But in the meantime, yes, happy creating, guys, and thank you very much.
Happy October, everyone.
Hello, I have the amazing main core of Audioblivious on the other end of this beautiful piece of technology. Hello, chaps.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Hello.
Hooray. For the benefit of those people who for some reason have no idea who you are, will you please just tell the folks at home who you are, guys?
I'm Austin Beach.
I'm Jeremy Hennessy.
I'm Scott Phillips.
Hooray, we got names. I obviously have very excitedly been working with you on various projects, so I'm very, very happy to be also involved in this one. So for the benefit of those people who for some reason haven't heard of Audioblivious, can you tell them a little bit about you as a team?
Sure, we produce a show called Winnebago Warrior, The Tale of John Wimby.
Woohoo.
That's our main show. We also have a couple of side story one-shots that we've produced. Yeah, we're just a group of friends that decided to get together and start telling stories.
Huzzah! And what fun stories they are.
And
with regards to this, 11th Hour, so last year you produced two stories, which are available on the 11th Hour site currently, which was Kill the Boy and...
Dread Light Shines in the Serpent Sky.
Dread Light Shines. Yes. And this year there's a new offering. And can you tell us, first of all, how it came about and why you've chosen it over everything else that you could have done?
Jeremy, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. Well, we were actually all kind of spitballing ideas. We wanted to keep it somehow like scary or Halloween themed, of course. Mm-hmm. And we threw out three ideas. And Austin's like, I like that idea. Let's save that. I like that idea. Let's save that. Yeah. And then we came up with the third idea, the story of the Martyr Protocol. And he said, yeah, let's totally go with that one. I was like, okay, I'll try my hand at writing. And I definitely needed help, Scott's help editing, because I tend to write and write and write. And the thing got to like 40 something pages long.
Amazing.
Script. And he actually shortened it down. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give too much away. little futuristic, a little horror, a little what's the word I'm looking for here? I guess what happens when life becomes too real for an android, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, it's certainly been very exciting to act in, I must say.
That's good.
Who else has been involved in this production?
We are still looking for artwork at the moment. Matt Boudreau offered to handle sound design on this one.
Superb.
So I'm just cobbling all the dialogue together, and then I'm going to hand it over to him for sound design, and then he's going to hand it off to Dane Leonardson for musical score.
Amazing. And Dane's music is so beautiful, so superb.
It is actually absolutely.
And it's got a range of characters in the cast as well. As I said, I'm lucky to be playing one. So thanks, chaps. But other than
you did fantastic as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm a bit scared, but yeah, hopefully it works.
I actually wrote it with you in mind.
That's amazing. I think that's what's lovely, isn't it? When you can get a script and really get your teeth into it. And I know this will take the audience to very different places. And I think, yeah, it's a few twists and turns and surprises. And yes, what other actors did you have involved in this?
We have Owen McEwen has a role. Pete Lutz has a role. Mm-hmm. And then Danielle Reese, Mike Jansen, Drew Prophet, Scott Phillips, and myself, Austin. We have a new voice in our little group. Her name's Kristen Martin. Mm-hmm. She's an old friend of Scott's, and she has kind of started hanging out one day, and we got her involved, and she did a fantastic job too.
Yeah, I would like to say she did a great job.
Amazing. And what kind of horror is it?
I would like to, it's almost like I wanted something that it hasn't been done 1,000 times. Mm. And, you know, you're inspired by movies kind of like Blade Runner or Ex Machina. Mm. But then also is sci-fi horror, I guess, would probably be the best way to describe it.
And who do you think this would appeal to other than the fans of Blade Runner and those types of shows?
Well, I'm horror fans, actually, too. I would like, you know, I'm not the best at horror, but I do like horror. So I would hope it would appeal to some horror fans as well. But actually, we kind of, you know, it can be a little scary and horrific at times, but for the most part, we'd like it to pretty much appeal to a wide audience. I tend to be a little bit overly nerdy, and it comes off, I guess, a bit in this. But hopefully we can appeal to a lot of different people.
Superb. And can you sell it to us then? So Austin, Scott, Jeremy, why should people listen to this show? What is so amazing about this show that they're going to be blown away?
It's the process it takes, the turns it takes you on. It's a slow burn, but it doesn't take forever to get there. It definitely builds towards a climactic end. I think does an excellent job on pacing and building the tension to get to that pivotal point. But it also smashes a few genres together. It's not specifically sci-fi. It's not specifically horror. There are very relatable human elements to it. There's morality. There's decision and choice and the consequence of choices. There's, you know, taking an emotion too far, not being able to control it. And I just think there's... It's broad enough that there's a little something for everyone.
Superb, yes. And what stage are you at now? What? Because we're now on, I think, somewhere around the 9th of October. We've got sort of 20 days left till it's due in to that deadline. What kind of phase are you in now?
I'm about halfway through putting all the dialogue together. Mm. And then as soon as I get that finished, I'm going to send it off to Matt.
Cool. And have you found the pressure of getting it done this month any different to how you normally work? or have you found this getting it into the month's kind of, timeline really difficult?
No, we kind of tend to operate on the fly as it is. So it's really, although we have decided to take on more than just, you know, one project this month, obviously, with 11th Hour. Yeah, October's a little hectic.
Yes. So what else are you working on other than 11th Hour?
I produced an episode of Creepy for John Grills.
Oh, yes. Superb. And that's doing one a day currently, isn't it?
Yes.
Which will still be going on when this airs towards the end of October. Yes.
Yes. And we just finished up a production on a story for Pugmire, a role-playing game.
Yes. And when is that due out?
That I don't know for sure. I sent it to Dane. He's doing the musical score for it as well. So that's all that's left. And then we send it off to the creator. He does what he wants with it.
And as well as sort of balancing all your time, have you come up against any other problems to do with getting this done in such a short space of time?
No, not really. We've had the script has been done for a little while. Mm-hmm. We, for the most part, except for you, Owen, and Pete, we were able to go ahead and get all the parts recorded all at the same time.
Wow, great.
So
I would love to be there. I would love to be there. One day.
That would be one awesome. Day, 2020, Sarah.
Let's do it. Cool. So you sound very organized and very on it. And why, if, for example, someone's listening to this thinking, that sounds quite fun, I'm not sure whether I want to do it, why should people jump on this and perhaps think about joining in the 11th hour next year?
It's an excellent collaboration process, especially if you're isolated. If you want to get more involved with the community, if you want to actually get hands-on work with somebody else's project, I can't think of a greater way to experience that. Plus just the networking you're going to be able to do, not from a professional standpoint, but hopefully be able to walk away with a few friends too.
Yes, well, a beautiful way of phrasing it. And where can people find your work specifically when they've found their 11th hour to be an amazingly exciting show to listen to?
We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio under Audio Oblivious Productions.
Superb. And we'll put all that information on the show notes. And is there anything else you'd like to say to your 11th hour audience?
Just make sure you check out all of the rest of the 11th hour shows this year. I think it's going to be great.
Yes, it's an exciting project, and I hope that it can only build and build. And yes, good luck, break legs with the rest of this month to make this the most cool and exciting 11th hour yet.
We're looking forward to it.
Superb. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, hello and welcome to Steve Schneider and John Scott Ballantyne. Hello,
Howdy.
Gentlemen.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Very well. Very well indeed. So the East Coast team is in effect, as the Americans say in a much better accent. And can you tell us the name of your show, please? And just perhaps give a little teaser as to what we're expecting.
Yeah, the show is called Monsters Game. Mm-hmm. It kind of, not to give away too much, it kind of delves into this whole true crime phenomenon with podcasts now, how that's kind of blossomed in the past couple of years. And in a way, it's kind of sort of a twisted love story, I guess you could say.
Aww, sounds very intriguing. Yeah. Superb.
Isn't that touching?
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, there will be some pretty good, hopefully shocking moments in it.
Yes, because what shows are you involved in? Because I know you've both got some superb pedigree, but for some reason, if people haven't heard your names but might have heard your shows, what is it that you're both involved in creating?
I really like the sound of superb pedigree. That really makes me feel nice. But
good.
I do Camp Fire Radio Theater. We've been doing this for about 6 years now, which is a horror anthology, little spooky tales, and that's basically where I'm coming from with this. And Steve's worked with us a couple of times. He's he's a very good. I mean, most people think of him as a writer and director sort, but he's actually and also a audio drama podcast production page troublemaker. but he's actually a very good voice actor, and I don't think people realize that.
Do you think he's shy? Do you think, is that what it is? Are you shy,
I think,
Steve?
I'm lazy is what it is, because I don't really put myself out there for many voice acting roles. Yeah, I think I'm a professional dilettante, because I am currently working on a show with a certain person whom you both know, and we have refused to name the show publicly until we can get the damn thing out there finally.
Well, how exciting.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what the name of that show is.
I think the damn thing finally, is that the name of the show?
Yeah, that'd be something along those lines. I think it's the cursed project that has undergone 50 million false starts. But
it will be amazing.
Maybe someday we'll have it out there.
Yeah, no, we're very excited. And for those of you that don't know, you're just going to have to wait. I'm not saying anything.
That's right. It'll be a big surprise.
Yes.
But as far as the 11th hour goes, I...
Yes. What stage are you at? Where are you at now? What have you kind of achieved so far?
Steve's pretty much done his part. I mean, you want to tell Sarah about the recording session?
So we recorded last Saturday at my house. It was a great day of recording. Mm-hmm. It took about 4.5 hours to get through all the lines, and we did multiple takes of each line. Mm-hmm. And then I took all the WAV files and put them in Dropbox and sent them to John and Travis, and they're working together. Uh-huh. I'm not quite sure the division of labor, John, as far as who's doing what specifically, but I believe he's doing the dialogue editing, then he's doing a rough cut of the sound, and then he's sending it back to you for the final mixing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's basically it. I'm doing the dialogue cut. Mm-hmm. Travis is putting together sound design and all those effects, and then I put the rest of the puzzle together once he gets through.
Exciting. And who else is involved? You mentioned your actors, so you've got who else involved in this amazing show?
Some of them will be very familiar names.
Right, we have, there's Tanya Milojevic, who acts in every single thing under the sun.
And it's still brilliant, you know, no matter what she's in.
Yes. There was also Sarah Taylor, mm-hmm. who acted in the show last year, Heavenly Deception, who did a very good job. So she got together with Tanya again.
She's really good in this.
And then there's a couple of new actors that I haven't worked with before that I found them just
walking
by...
on the street. Oh, yeah.
Putting out casting calls and auditions. There's a man named Dexter Heron who plays the villain in this story, or one of the villains, I guess, depending on your perspective. And then there's a younger guy named Bobby Gaglini, who I was very impressed with.
Did you say he had never acted before?
Yeah, that's what he told me.
He's amazing.
This is his first acting experience or substantive experience.
What an exciting one to start on. I mean, where's he going to go from here?
Right, and he has the lead role, and this is, you know, something he hasn't done a whole lot of in the past. And
he's very natural.
He was very, very mm-hmm. good in terms of performance, but you could judge for yourself.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so Travis is doing sort of the music and sound design as well as you, John, and cover art.
Well, Kevin Hartnell is actually doing the music. And Travis is handling all the sound mm-hmm. effects work and Foley and things like that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think Monique is working on some cover art for us. Monique Boudreau.
Superb. Well, what a wonderful team. Yeah. Sounds amazing. So what kind of horror show is it? If you were going to sell it to people, what would they kind of expect? Is it suspense? Is it thriller? Is it slasher? Is it what kind of horror are
it's
we looking
kind
at?
Of a, I guess it's sort of a suspense thriller. It's not really gory. It's not going to be like mm-hmm. a slasher. It won't be a gore fest. I hate to mm-hmm. disappoint people, but there's not going to be like arterial spray and things like that. Yeah. And we all love that. But, you know, you can't do every show like that.
Yeah.
But I think just the – this was – you know, we tried to make it simple, or at least I tried to write something fairly simple. So, because I knew we had a limited amount of time to put this thing together. So I didn't want, you know, to have, you know, really complicated mm-hmm. sound design where, you know, you like a T-Rex yes. marching in the background. That was kind of, but, you know, I figured, you know, right. the, you know, I figured we would need good actors, and I think Steve knew this as well. And he came mm-hmm. through with flying colors with casting. And, so I think the actors will really carry this story. I think the drama will come from that.
Exciting.
And it'll be kind of psychological and suspense and thriller-ish, I guess.
And this story's interesting in that it's not your typical horror movie villain type of villain in this story. There's a character with a lot more nuance and depth. And if it's possible to make a sympathetic murderer, I think John has written one, so.
Wow, very exciting. Cool, we can't wait to hear. Yes, I was going to say, what's your preferred method of keeping in contact? So it's mainly through Facebook, not Slack or Discord or Google. Or
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what that stuff is. I mean, you kids with your new, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I'm a kid, I am. I'm only 21 inside.
I'm 25. But,
are you? Yeah. Let's go to the bars.
I know.
I could say that one really good experience I had, it's a bit of a challenge, but I haven't had a ton of experience in directing things that I didn't write. So this was an interesting really trying to interpret the script, trying to determine, well, why is this character saying this particular line? And it, when you get into the details, there's really a lot of nuance and interpretation involved in terms of, okay, well, how would this character say this? Why would this character say this? And then having my own conception of it and then seeing what the actors bring to the table and negotiating, okay, what are the emotional beats of this scene and at what point would it become more intense? And there's a lot of subtext there, things that are not said, but it's more like either things that go unsaid or that things that are said, but they're said with a particular emotion or a particular cadence that really bring a lot of information beyond just what's written in the script. And I thought that was a good experience and working through that with the actors.
And did you do like a table read cold beforehand around, you know, around the mics or in a different space and then go into record?
Yeah, that was cool too. With technology, we did it. We did a couple Skype table reads ahead of time.
Oh, great.
2 days ahead of the recording. So everybody was clear basically on what was going to happen, who was saying what, working out even some of the blocking for the scenes. And and then it just got into more detail the day of the recording as well.
Exciting. And I guess, did you to and fro with some of the actors? Are they quite inquisitive and kind of wanting to get info from you as well, perhaps?
Sure. We generally did three takes for the most part. The first take was just kind of the kitchen sink take, as Casey Whelan says, just give it your best interpretation of what's happening here. Yep. And then after that, if I had any suggestions, which would occur to me as I was listening, maybe we'll try it this way, maybe we'll try it this way. And I tried to give a few different interpretations of each scene, and then I left it up to John to pick whichever ones he thought worked the best.
Awesome. Brilliant. And just as far as the whole event is concerned, we're obviously keen to get people to listen, so why should people listen to your show?
Gosh, I don't know. that's a way to sell it. I think we've got a unique idea. I think it's, I haven't seen every horror movie or heard every horror audio drama out there, read every horror book, but I haven't seen this type of story done. And that's what always kind of appeals to me when I come up with an idea. It's like, oh, I haven't heard this yet or I haven't seen this. So I think it's unique. I think it hasn't been done before, at least that I know of. Although there will be familiar elements. There will be familiar, I guess, tropes to some degree. But it's almost impossible to do something completely original. But, you try to put a unique spin on it and hopefully people will enjoy it.
And beyond this particular show, it's coming out with the other 11th Hour audio drama productions on the same day. They'll record it. They'll release it on a set schedule, I presume, like they did last year, where whatever they are, 4 or 5 hours apart from each other, all on World Audio Drama Day. And I just think it's a great thing, that just as part of that constellation of shows that come out that day, just to promote audio drama in general.
Yes.
To promote horror storytelling in the month of October, the day before Halloween in general. And just to encourage other audio drama people, writers, actors, producers, directors, sound designers, Foley people, to work together with other people that you haven't really had much experience working with. It's a great way to bring the community closer together.
Absolutely. Collaboration, I think, is key. And I do think we do have a wonderful community of people. And, it's good shaking it up a bit now and then, Steve. We love your drop-ins. Clinics where we get to have a little reassessment.
Kind of mix things up a little bit, makes it interesting.
I mean, just to go on your point earlier, so why should people perhaps who are thinking about it dive in next year and have a go? What do you think they'll get out of it?
I think it's just a fun experience. You know, for me personally, I usually end up doing all of this stuff. I cast, direct, put it all together. I do sound design. This year I've been able to, hey, Steve, hey, you can cast the actors, you can direct and do the recording session. Yeah. And Travis is handling the sound. It's actually a lot of pressure off of me. because I can kind of kick back and relax for a little bit. But
Well, all that remains to say is thank you so, so much for joining us today, and cannot wait to hear your offering. I know the cast is astounding, and you guys are certainly very talented in everything I've heard you do. So thank you, and good luck with it. Enjoy all of the other shows too.
Thank you for having us, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Sarah, we really enjoyed it. Enjoyed talking with you.
Hello and welcome to MJ Cogburn. Hello, MJ.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Oh, very excited, as usual. It's Friday night, so as I say, Fridays are always good.
Friday, it's time to party.
Yes, every Friday. What a good day. So, yes, I know we've spoken before, but for the sake of the program here, how do you fit into the world of podcasting currently?
I don't at all. No. I'm in charge of Darker Projects. If you go looking for horror kind of stuff, that's where you'll find me, is over at darkerprojects.com.
Mm-hmm. And you are one of the team leaders for the exciting events going on for 11th Hour Audio this year. What
yes,
is your 11th Hour show, and how did it come about that you've come involved?
Well, it was a story that was given to me by Jonathan Patrick Russell.
Right. Oh, I love him. I've known him, recently met him. He's lovely.
He's awesome. And when John had sent this to me, he was like, I have no idea where I'm going with this story. Here, you can have it if you want it.
What a gift.
And I was like, I mean, it had this opening where it's called The Hooded Figure. And I had no idea where I was going with it either. And I kept messing with it and messing with it. And I was finally like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this thing at all. No clue.
Right.
So I started talking with Shane Harris, who is an actor for Darker Projects.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, we could do this.
I love it when a plan comes together. Yes.
And he kind of, yeah. And he gave me this idea, and I was like, I like that idea, but I'm going to change it up just a tad.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you'll have to listen to figure out what happens.
It's very exciting. I love the title. It's very intriguing. And I have actually read it for reasons that will become obvious at some point to people. But what did you like about it then? What is the hook for you making you think it would work for this project?
Well, it's horror, one.
Yes.
It's yes. Something that you don't expect to happen kind of happens. And mm-hmm. I didn't even know how the story was going to end at first. And it just kind of came to me.
Yeah.
So.
And what kind of horror would you say? Because there's so many types of horror that we can have in, you know, film and audio these days. How would you describe the horror of this particular script style-wise?
Well, it's more of a kind of a mystery, ghostly thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has some psychopathic issues in it, but I don't really know where it kind of fits in the grand scheme of things, because I kind of mixed a whole bunch of stuff into it.
Exciting. See, that's what's beautiful, isn't it? That you've got a script, but there's so much you can do to make it your own. So, yeah, that's what's brilliant about this, I think. And how have you found working under the pressure of it all must be done in October?
I don't like pressure at all. I'm really not good under pressure. Well, I take that back, because sometimes some of my best work is under pressure. I don't like it per se, but like, you might as well just kind of bite the bullet and just do what you want, you know, do what you're going to do, because in the long run, it's going to either come out good or it's going to come out and
Have you found yourself working differently because you've got that kind of time constraint that it must be completed in the month?
Well, I'm kind of lucky because I'm done with it now.
Already?
Yeah.
And it's, what is today? I've got no idea. It's around
due on the 29th, and I'm done on the 6th. So
that's amazing. Oh, well, you're super organized. Amazing. So who else is involved in this creative endeavor?
Worked with Audio Oblivious.
Yes. Hashtag Eagle Squeak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potpourri Theater, or Narada Radio is what they really want to be called.
Superb.
Yep.
Mr. Pete Lutz at the helm. Yes. Marvelous.
Leap Audio.
Mm-hmm. So that's Mark.
Yes, it is.
Brucey. Yeah.
Lightning Bolt Theater.
Marvelous. So it's Tanya Milojevic.
Yes.
Wow, so that's brilliant.
And I got super lucky. David Krause did the music for me.
Uh-huh.
And he had just sent me an email yesterday saying, hey, I'm finished with the music. Let me know what you think. And I was like, listening to it right before you called. And exciting. So I was just like, okay. And I finally put in all the finishing touches that I wanted, and I actually mixed it all down right before you called. So
amazing. You're a machine.
Well, I don't know about a machine, but
no, it's amazing. Great. So who would you say that this, as a story, as a piece of amazing horror audio, who would this most appeal to? What's your demographic, do you think?
If you like the kind of mystery, ghostly stuff, then yeah, that's right up your alley. I actually got chills listening to it earlier, so that kind of gives me an idea of how it's going to come
superb.
Out.
And it has Tanya at the helm, doesn't it, as one of the main characters. So if there's any fans of Tanya's out there, which I know there's many, this is definitely one worth listening to, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, and that woman can scream.
Oh, I could never do that. She's amazing.
So I'm surprised that people around her apartment or house don't just like go, are you okay?
She must have to put signs out and tell her neighbors, because that I've often thought that. What a brilliant cover for murder. You say, I'm just doing an audio drama, it's fine, don't worry, nothing to see here.
I'm just doing audio drama, it's fine.
There's a story in there somewhere, we need to loop that in somehow. And is there anything you want the audience to know about your project? Is there anything you feel passionate that they should enjoy about this project?
Well, the people that are in this project, present company included, are Mark Brzee, Shane Harris, myself, you, my dear.
Yes.
Austin Beach, Tanya, Scott Phillips, Pete Lutz, and I don't know how everybody did such an amazing job, but they did. And exciting. I greatly appreciate everything that everybody did to make it come round circle, you know.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I think, all those names are very hardworking in audio. So, it'd be brilliant if you look those folks up and see what other amazing things they've done. And we'll put some links to some of these folks in the show notes, so you've got at least a starting point. But what problems have you come across, if any? Like, if people are considering doing this for next year?
Well, if they're going to do something like this and actually have the time to get it all done, go in prepared.
Yep.
Because if you're not prepared, there's not going to be a way that you're ever going to get everything done.
Absolutely. And just as a final note, so why should people listen to your show?
Well, why not? I listen to so many people's stuff. And, if I didn't listen to other people's audio drama, I wouldn't know to say, hey, Pete, I know that you can do this particular vocal. I mean, I won't say who out of those list of people that are in this, that are in my production, but one of them can really do a good Kermit the Frog accent. And I'm not going to say who. And no, it's not Pete.
Amazing. That sounds very intriguing. And so people must listen. Answers on a postcard at the end of the show. Thank you so much, MJ, for giving up your time. And we can't wait to hear The Hooded Figure.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it.
Hello and welcome to the British contingent of the 11th Hour audio team. Hello, fellas.
Hurrah, hello.
Hello.
Hello, waving flags and sitting in uniform. I'm very excited to speak to you.
I thought I was the only person who did that.
It's all right, I'm in mine too. Very importantly, you're waving the flags as well as we speak. Well, I'm really very happy to say that I was also involved in this, and we wrapped yesterday on the exciting adventures that you had penned, Richard. So we have, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Kareem, voice actor, occasional co-producer, because let's be honest, Richard did most of the work on this one. I just sort of
contacted a few people and said, please come and help.
But since that's entirely untrue, I'm going to have to say that Karim is the person who's actually the proper audio drama professional in all of this. I'm a complete dilettante. I sort of study, well, I vaguely research creative enterprises and audio drama as part of my work. Very vaguely, but also I write stories a lot of the time, and I've sort of recently turned my hand more to theatrical scripts and to
very fine stories.
Thank you very much, sir.
So, Richard, you've written this. What inspired you to go down this particular avenue for this horror season?
Oh gosh, I don't know really. Moments of madness. I have quite a few of those. Yeah, no, it's mostly, I guess, because I like writing about different parts of the country, and particularly Oxford. I think it's just a fascinating place because obviously it's a place which has got Tolkien and it's got Narnia. Well, I don't know if it's literally got Narnia there, but Narnia was inspired by it and such like. And
I bet if we go and open enough wardrobes, we'll find it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's probably methodologically been going along and opening wardrobes just to double check that in Oxford. Yeah,
just in case.
Yes, definitely. I think what intrigued me was the whole town and gown thing. That there's always been this sort of slight tension between the sort of glamorous university and all of the sort of highfalutin thoughts and the town itself. And I was kind of thinking in the 1920s, if you're a sort of somebody from working class who's a woman who's just got into, the university's just opening up, but really you don't have much of a chance to actually get into it. Yet you see all of these people in their finery, and I was thinking, how do you make your way in there if, everyone's a sort of egotistical monster who thinks they rule the world? And I thought, wouldn't it be better if there were actual monsters who actually do rule the world? So I thought I would go with that.
Easy plot point.
I mean, I could have come up with something sensitive and intelligent, but instead I decided to go down that avenue.
Very exciting. Now, we don't want to give too much away because we do want people to jump in and enjoy the script. But what kind of horror would you describe it as?
Oh, completely ridiculous. horror, comedy horror, I guess, although I must admit, when we're carrying...
Definitely comedy overtones. I think there were many times in the recording booths where we were just about holding ourselves together without laughing.
But I think the point you made at the start was that it was going to be played straight as horror, and if there was any comedy in it, that would come out, which I thought was an important thing to sort of say at the start.
Well, it's a pet thing of mine. There's nothing so serious as comedy. So if you try and play for the laughs, it's going to go horribly wrong. Whereas if you play it straight, it will just live on its own and breathe its own laughter.
Yes. And what's the script called?
Ivory Towers.
That conjures up some exciting places, doesn't it? I know I've been in a few in my time. And who else is involved in this extravaganza?
Well, we have the spectacularly talented Beth Eyre from Wooden Overcoats fame joining us in our happy crew. We have Richard to thank for that.
She's amazing, isn't she?
She is. We have the as spectacularly talented Sarah Golding, strangely enough.
Someone should tell her she's no good. I bet she got her lines wrong as well, did she?
I think we all did that occasionally, but... and we have some newbies to the audio drama world. We have someone both you and I know, Sarah, called Rob Bowen, who's a spectacularly good actor that we've both known for several years. And Richard, you had a friend, John Watts. And our spectacular sound engineer, Chris Jarvis, of the Radio Theatre Workshop, also brought one of his friends along, the excellent David Weeks, to voice the final role. And it was a very fine crew.
So it was all recorded in one day yesterday in Chris's studios, which is a home-built studio. There's pictures of it on our Facebook group and a short bit of video just showing people using it in action. Did you find that quite an interesting way of working? Can you tell us sort of how the day went from when your actors and the technician arrived? What kind of setup did you have for the day?
Okay, well, I mean, I suppose it's one of those things whereby, for me, it's fantastic to actually have us all sort of in the same room, although it was slightly restricted that there were only three booths and then we couldn't all be in there, but it's still a fantastic little setup Chris has got there in his Radio Theatre Workshop. So it really helps because we can all bounce off one another for the sections and actually get the live recording feel, rather than the slight weakness where you have remote actors who are just acting cold into a microphone on their own kind of thing.
Poor things, bless them, everyone. But you had a table read before as well, didn't you? So people had scripts up front and you were actually able to give that little bit of direction before we even got in the booth, which I thought was great.
We know how Chris works and we know he could do it very well with us just behind the microphones, but I felt it was important because we were all coming together and there were some newbies to audio drama, I wanted to get at least a table read so we could get a feel of the characters all fitting and working together initially. And I think that was pretty valuable. It got a few pointers in and a few rough edges knocked off on the first run before we actually went behind the microphones, I felt.
Mm-hmm. And how much directing did you do across the day, do you
Me?
Think?
I did a little bit. I took control completely in the table read, but it was very much my idea that once Chris is under the cans, he's the one who's in control because he's the sound engineer and he picks up the really minor things I'm not necessarily going to go to. So yep. At the table, it was pretty much my job. In the booth, it was Chris's job, but I would bring smaller salient points up as well about emphasis and the characters possibly going a certain way or not.
Yes. And where are you now? Because we're on the 16th of October. There's like another 14 days or so until World Audio Drama Day. What kind of situation are you in now? What kind of phase in the project are you in?
Well, we have the theme music, hopefully should have gone to Chris today. There's been a slight amendment to it. Tom Parsons, of course. I forgot. Tom Parsons is doing our theme music for us.
Yes, Tom Parsons. We love Tom. Everyone should have and know a Tom Parsons. You're amazing, Tom. Thank you.
Hymn of Organism fame. Tom's done our theme music and he sent that off to Chris hopefully today. And Chris has basically got a number of hours work to do to form those... words into a cohesive audio drama with a selection of noises and sound effects of which he is superb at doing.
I must say his insect noises were particularly impressive. And Richard, from your perspective, obviously you were able to hear some of it and some of it you weren't in the booth for. Do you think that the shape of the piece has turned out as you imagine? Because I guess this is your first full audio drama and you've heard it kind of brought to life. What are your feelings about how it's kind of developed from the page to performance?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was absolutely electrifying, actually, to listen to it, to hear it all being sort of properly made. And just, actually really humbling to be amongst people with such amazing talent for audio and voice acting. And just, it's just really just enjoyable just to sort of sit back and just see how incredibly they bring it all to life. And there's that, and also the other thing that I thought was quite interesting from a writing perspective, and I don't know if other people might find this, that coming from a perspective that I tend to write sort of short stories and novels, more prose type thing, moving over into scripting, you suddenly become aware of the dialogue so much more and the pacing so much more. And I think it makes, it transfers across really well that you really sharpen up what you write because you start hearing it and you think, whoa, that, that's too slow. It's dragging too much there or it's not heightened enough there.
Yes.
So yes, it's a fantastic process.
Fantastic. And I know you had to go through a few edits. Who did you ping the script to kind of hone it and get it to where it got to before the final version?
Oh gosh, it's gone all over the place. the actual short stories, I usually get edited by, and this is it's hilarious, because there's a friend of mine who's a poet in Serbia, and she speaks English so much better than I do.
that's not possible.
when I sort of send things over to get things edited, so it sort of grammatically corresponds with English, I usually send it to her. And so she gave me her views, and I sent it to John, and he gave me some of his views of the story, and then... So I then developed it into the script and sent it to all of you lovely fellows and folk. And yes, I think about on Tuesday, I was just about to send it off to all of the actors. And then kind of Chris came back with some really, really great points. And it was fantastic because he'd actually kind of, rather than just said, you can change this or change that, he'd gone and changed the scenes specifically. Wow. So I didn't really have to do any work, but sort of do track changes or something like that. But instead, I decided to kind of create an enormous amount of work for myself by spending hours and hours and hours rewriting the whole thing because I'm that sort of annoying perfectionist that sees, oh no, that line's changed, so I have to change everything.
Wow.
Chris, of course, does write his own series, Escape Velocities.
Yes, he's a very prolific writer, isn't he, of his own? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and brilliantly observed the sort of, I mean, there were weak points I was aware of, but sort of immediately came in on them and was really good in giving me a sort of guide on that. And I think, again, that was one of the benefits of the process for me, kind of by meeting up with people who have got that mm-hmm. much more experience in this field. It's quite enjoyable to kind of like to see how it transfers into sound with the view of somebody who works in this medium all the time.
Yes. So obviously there are four other amazingly exciting things being made alongside your extravaganza. Why should people go and listen to yours? Sell it to us. What is so amazing about this beautiful project you've created?
We have some fine voice talent, an excellent script, and a brilliant sound engineer that's going to put together a superb show. In fact, let's be honest, you really ought to listen to all five because they're all going to be great.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Good answer. And Richard, anything to add?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, I'm just can't wait to hear all of the rest of the productions as well. But no, I mean, I think ours has certainly got a particular taste to it. I'm thinking it's going to be very distinctive.
I think it is quintessentially a British show. I think I can safely say
very much so. Yeah.
Some wonderfully, yes, British feel about it. So yes, fantastic for creating that good stuff. And yes, all I remains to say is thank you very, very much for contributing your time to speak to us. And we do hope, obviously, that the project is a marvellous success.
Of course.
So thank you, guys. Happy creating.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to Neil Gristin and Tanya Milojevic. Hello.
Hello.
It's very exciting to speak to you. I hear you've been hotly recording in the last few days even for your exciting project. So first of all, Neil, can you tell us what adventures you're having in this podcasting world so far?
I am the creator of Twilight Audio Theater. I started that, a long time ago. But currently I'm an editor for the Colonial Radio Theater on the air, and that has consumed a lot of my time in the past year and a half.
Well, you know, as long as you're off the streets and out of trouble, that's the most important thing.
Oh, that's not a problem.
And Tanya, hello. It's lovely to speak to a fellow voice actor, and you do so much more. I don't know if you want to summarize bits and bobs that you're getting up to at the moment.
Sure. So I do Lightning Bolt Theater of the Mind with a couple of other friends of mine who are awesome to help.
Yes.
And that's going pretty well. We're hoping to launch some more episodes soonish.
Exciting.
I was thinking of launching something for Halloween, but I don't think it's going to happen. So it'll definitely, some point in November,
just
it'll come
stay
out.
Up for 78
I
hours
know,
straight.
Right?
You'll be fine.
just drink some of that coffee. It'll be fine. And I've been recording for different shows, like I'm going to get to work on Edict Zero soon, the next episode of that.
Yes.
What's the Frequency? I would like to make sure they have all of the material for
that. You're amazing in that, yes.
Thank you.
I was saying to people how your British accent is better than mine in What's the Frequency?
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but I try to make it as authentic as possible.
Yeah, it's great
it's
fun.
Always the goal.
Love it. Love the show as well. It's so exciting to meet someone who's working in more shows than I am.
No, I think it's about the same at this point, maybe. Maybe, I don't know, you're in a lot of stuff, so you might have got me beat at this point.
Well, it's not a race, we're just enjoying ourselves, aren't we?
But yeah, and I'm trying to squeeze in as many auditions as I can for new things and keeping those old ones for demos. So,
brilliant,
you know.
Yes, exactly. That's what I've been trying to do, is to cut a new one from all the stuff I've been in recently.
Yeah.
So Neil, can you tell us a little bit about the 11th Hour show you've been working on? So you've written it. What's it called? And can you give us a little lowdown on what it's about?
It is called Shadows of Halloween. And I wrote it. The reason I did this is because I haven't put anything out in the past year. I've been really consumed mm-hmm. with all the CRT stuff that I've been working on. And I look at the iTunes and I see the last thing I put out was the Gabriella Thomas Adventures, Return of the Fallen, and that
Hooray.
Was two, yeah, that was Woo. Two that was 2016, and
was it?
Yes, it was.
And my 21st birthday year,
and I probably wrote it. I'll try to do a quick story, but I wrote it a long time ago, and it was called Gabriel.
Thomas was right. The original, and I was on the, I think it was either the Facebook page, or I don't know if it was a forum, but someone was talking about how women didn't have good parts in audio drama. So I thought about it, and I was like, man, I've had Tanya in so many shows over the years, and it's always been a ghost or a news reporter or something ridiculous. And I said, well, I could change it and make it Gabriella. And that's what I did.
Marvelous and, choice.
Yes, yes,
more
yes.
More people should think like that, I do find, yes.
I don't know if it was an episode that you guys did or if it was a conversation you might have had with Fiona, maybe.
I think I did bang a drum a bit on one of the forums at one point. I just, in as much as, you know, and also smaller parts that denigrated it as male roles, I think, well, females could play those too. So, yeah, no, it is a question of just maybe thinking outside the book sometimes when you've written something specifically, if it might well suit either gender instead. Or one of the array of genders that we currently know about. Yes. Yes, a great show. If you haven't heard it, folks, jump on and find it on Twilight Audio Theatre. I love it. Pop up a bit. And I think it's a wonderful show. And there's a Kickstarter happening now for season two, isn't that right?
Season one. But it's out there if anyone's interested, it's there.
So hunt it down and support it, folks. It's a wonderful show. With regards to the 11th Hour show, who else is it involved in this currently?
Well, other than myself and Tanya, we have Austin Beach of Audio Oblivious is involved.
Hashtag Eagles.
Yep. And him and Matthew Boudreaux, they sing in this. Two of them sing. Aww. So look forward to that.
I'm very excited.
Can't wait to hear this.
I hope it's beautifully harmonized.
It's funny. It's just, it's Oingo Boingo, by the way. Just
oh, amazing. So the tone of the piece is quite humorous then, I guess, with those guys doing that.
I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up with the Goonies and Poltergeist. When it comes to horror, I like a little comedy with my horror. I don't like the Hostels and the Saws, and not that they can, you know, that there can be bad movies, but I like humor in my stuff. So I always, there's always some humor in the story. It's not necessarily a comedy, but there's always humor in the story because
bit of light relief, good stuff. Yes.
Pete Lutz is involved. He also did the cover art. I put that up on the Facebook page. And he's of Narada and the Potpourri Theater. And we also have Owen McEwen, who I don't think he's affiliated to anything, but he's just a fantastic actor. He plays Darren. He does a fantastic job.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear his performance.
You know the secrets because you've read the script. I have no idea. So Tanya, can you tell us from your perspective then? How would you describe the script itself? What will lure people in to listen?
It feels real to me. The relationship between the four friends is believable and naturally flows, and you know how people act in a group where they may act slightly differently in front of the entire group than they do with other subgroups of that larger group. That's represented really well. Also, you know, there's a lot going on, like with the characters. You can see that they've been developed very well, and they have things, you know, pasts and history with each other, and that's presented. Of course, the Halloween aspect itself is well done. It makes you freaked out. Like, you have to wear a costume. You know, when you're listening to this, you got to prepare for this script by finding a good Halloween costume that represents one of the traditional monsters, like a mummy or like a you know, a witch or ghoul, something that's traditional rather than a superhero costume. I'll just say that much. It's important.
That's superb. So we would love you to share your pictures on our Facebook forum on Halloween, please, of you having listened to these amazing audio dramas in your costumes. Thank you very much.
In the dark.
So yes, what scares you guys? Are you listening to any podcasts currently that you found really unnerving or brilliant to listen to, or just general genres of horror you've heard or watched that you really love?
What did I pick up the other night? I picked up John Carpenter's The Fog, which is which is not the greatest movie, but the location is fantastic, and yeah. He's got some.
I
really...
love the black and white one of that as well. That's quite moody.
I do love yeah. listening to horror podcasts like Campfire Radio Theater. I just caught up on their latest two episodes. Oh my god, amazing. Oh. Creeped me out.
On Netflix, right?
Yes. And I did also watch Gerald's Game yesterday, mm-hmm. the movie, Stephen King book originally, and it was just made into a movie. It just came out this year. Oh my god, speaking of voice acting, like I know it's not a voice But if you listen to the actors and the way that they portray their roles, like the woman did an amazing job with doing like an alter ego voice for herself and her regular character. And she differentiates both so well that unless, you know, I had to tell myself, this is the same person. The speech patterns were different. The mannerisms and the, everything was just so well done.
Fabulous. And is there anything you can say that will entice people to listen?
This is an amazing cast. And just to listen to Matthew and Austin sing, that's worth the ticket price right there.
Hooray. Yeah,
no, but it's a fun show. And the like I said, the actors are amazing. That's the thing. I'm having deja vu because we've had this before. If nobody knows, I screwed this up last time with my audio. But none of this works without the actors. It's just words on a page and just something that, you know, especially something like this script. You know, I came up with it in a night, and I think I wrote it in 3 or 4 days, and none of it means anything unless the actors bring it to life. I mean, I can stick all the sound effects and music all I want, but without the actors to bring it to life, there is nothing.
Oh, yes. The writing is amazing. So right back at you, Neil. Without the writing being intriguing and making me all excited about the role, I mean, I don't think I would have put as much energy into the performance. So, I can't speak for the others, But yeah, that's really what makes it exciting is where it's going, the plot line and the meat to the characters, which you did provide in the script. So besides listening for the singing, I suggest listening because you get to wear your costume and watch or listen in the dark.
Yeah, and Shadows of Halloween. Listen to that too for the 11th hour.
Listen to it so you don't get pulled into the land of the dead. It's very important.
Marvelous. Well, both of you have a wonderfully
scary and fun.
Thank you very much.
Sarah, thank you so much for having us. Happy Halloween, everyone. Bye.
Wow, so there's lots of amazingly cool and freaky things for you to listen to, folks. So if you need to know any more information, there is a website which has also the amazing shows from last year and mm-hmm. previous years to listen to warm you up, because there's a few days, if you're listening to this one on launch day, to catch up.
Very, very
and that
important.
Is www.11thhouraudio.com, with the 11 being the number, not how you spell it. And also, there will be the live feeds coming from there and links to that. So do have a look at Oral Sound Studios as well. And we'll put all of these links on the show notes. But you can also buy a nice T-shirt and even a mug, I think. So go and have a browse and find some merch.
All the merchandise.
We all need some merch, don't we? Because I do love October for its horrors.
And also happening this October, we have John Grills, who some people may know from Small Town Horror.
Yes, he's amazing.
Who's also just wrapped his third season on that, which was really intense. I loved it. Mm. I also worked on it.
Awesome. Busy man.
Yes. He has a podcast called Creepy, which is about retelling creepypasta stories with his narration and sound design. He's done an amazing thing of bringing people from all across the community to make these stories and bring them together. And what he's done for Halloween, for October, is he's doing 31 days of Halloween.
It's so amazing. Have you been trying to keep up?
I can't keep up. I'm really looking forward to just having a bunch of horror stories to catch up on. And yes. I started catching up today, and honestly, 31 stories coming at you from shows like Girl in Space, Subject Found, Point Mystic, Attention Hellmark Shoppers, and Campfire Radio Theater, and many, many yes. more coming for the next.
All these luminaries of names we know and trust yeah. and love. There's some amazingly fantastic work going collaboratively. And I think hats off to John for doing that, you know, because so I find it amazing how John went from Small Town Horror, which yeah. was pretty much very much him doing everything, and perhaps a few other parts kind of came in here and there, to just being this linchpin of this beautiful collaborative horror fueled group of people coming together amazing. To make these absolutely brilliant stories. So kudos to you, John. I think there's some really brilliant work happening.
Like, it's insane.
We worship you from wherever we live. It's all very exciting. Keep yeah. up the good stuff. And everybody working with him, good stuff. Absolutely. You as well. Keep it up. It's all amazing. And I think, you know, mm-hmm. there are quite a few. I love anthology shows. I really do. And I think, again, sort of the portmanteau yeah. stories as a kid, where you have the narrator and then three stories and somehow they're all tied together. I love all that. And the kind yeah. of part of me feels that maybe bring that back. And why do you think horror works in audio so beautifully?
It's because I think, and I've been thinking about this kind of in preparation, it's because you're right in the person's ear.
Yeah.
You know, you're yeah. in their mind. If you lull them into the story, they're completely at your mercy. You can truly surprise them. Yeah. You know, if you go to like I just saw It recently, you know, there's certain telegraphing in the visuals of like, when is the scare going to happen? And if you watch a lot of horror, you can see them setting that up. So in your yes. mind, in the back of your head, you're going, okay, then this is going to happen. Then oops, then there's Pennywise, you know, out behind the door. But in audio, there's no visuals to kind of for you to be able to kind of second guess, like, oh, where's the scare going to come from? Where's the scare going to come from? You know, you are completely, you know, in an ocean of this story to take you where it wants to go, and you have no control over that, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, there we will put a few links to show notes of some of the shows we've been mentioning as well, so you can have a good look yourself. But I know people were doing a kind of a call to arms, weren't they, on various forums for more October events. Yes. So this Creepy Pod, there's 11th hour, I think. There was somebody saying that she just wanted to be scared. So we're wondering whether maybe next year we should do the hashtag scare me, which yes. might be quite interesting.
Well, we can't leave pulsating without yeah, terror.
This is it. Come
we
on,
must,
people.
We must scare pulsating.
Work harder. Yeah. Yes. Hashtag scare pulsating. But yes, and then to say as well that it's very important to help new podcasts to get found. And yes. very simply, there was a call to arms to perhaps start hashtag new show November, just to find some new ones and just tweet about them. Let's get some people sharing yeah. and collaborating to get those new found things out there. And it doesn't mean that, you know, as a new show, it's been just been made. It could be something that you've suddenly just come across. So, you know, with you, Zachary, it could be yeah. that you found Tribulation in November and you finally
yes
found something awesome. So it's about sharing all those new things, so please do jump on that if you possibly can.
I also want to give a shout out to a YouTube channel who are very good at podcast reviews and are bringing to light a lot of new shows that I'd never heard of and am being exposed to, and that's ABD Corner. Matt Durkin.
Yes.
And I know a lot of us have had a chance of being reviewed by him, but he always brings up shows that I'm like, oh, I've never heard of this. And he always is talking about, oh, this, I'm listening to this new show and this new show. And I heard about Hellmart. And of course, Organism was on there along with myself. And, you know, a lot of really cool stuff. So if you want new shows and don't necessarily know how to find them, I recommend his channel on YouTube.
Excellent.
ABD Corner.
Yes, we'll pop that in the show notes as well, so you can just click on it. Nice and easy. Thank you so, so much to every single person who very kindly donates to keep this, you know, hosted and going as it does. And I think it's very important to, if you are enjoying any podcast, to jump out. And even if it's $1 a month, $1 an episode, gosh, that makes such a difference. So please do,
massive
if you can,
difference.
Feel free to jump out there and give somebody some money love.
Just money love is our favorite kind of love.
We like that most of the time. But yes, goodness. And we must also mention there's some fantastic articles on the podcasthost.com, which we've been gently singing its praises for, essentially because it is just a wonderful source of such information, not just technical things, but also where to look for books and hardware, and also, you know, they're able to get some really fascinating advice from people who are podcasting, not just people, you know, who aren't on the shop floor. These are people who are in it and doing it. And very recently, there's a beautiful article by our own Matthew McLean about how Hostile Worlds very simply got onto the very front pages of iTunes, and he dissects what happened to the download numbers and consequently how success of it was due to people being able to see it visibly. And he basically does rawly paint what happens to a podcast like that if it gets on the front of iTunes. So do have a look. It's a fascinating article.
And so today on this week's episode, we have the latest trailer for Paul Sadings' Subject Found Season 2. Sarah, you're in this, aren't you?
I am. I'm so excited. I can't wait for people to hear. There's a few things. You know when you get really excited? Because sometimes you're sort of little bitty parts which don't kind of do much, and sometimes you get fun and eventually exciting things happening. So yeah, no, I can't wait for people to see and hear this one. I think it's got some brilliant people in it. Not me, but other people in it are absolutely astounding. So all that remains is to say a huge thank you to Zachary Fortescombe. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It was lovely being here.
It's been wonderful to have you on, and hopefully people will jump on straight away to listen and binge listen to every single The Orphans episode they can find.
We've got two seasons.
Yeah, I'll keep you busy for a while. Off the streets and out of trouble. It's very important. But yeah, keep writing, keep creating, keep making. We need good stories, world. And we've got a few exciting things coming up in the next few months. Will hopefully incite you to be even more creative, and we'll let you know about those in an episode or two. But yes, we thank you so much for everybody who's contributed to this episode. 11th Hour folks, I'm very, very excited to hear these stories and hope you've had immense fun creating them. And next year, if you would like to get involved in doing any 11th Hour shows, just jump on the website and send a message to the email address there, and I'm sure it would be wonderful to have you doing your show and perhaps talking to us next year. So without further ado, enjoy these shows, enjoy the trailer. Thank you, Zach.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Goodbye.
I think you forgot to say the email.
You're amazing. This is why you're here. See, I need to be kept in line. Fiona does all this stuff, see?
I just remember you trying to say it every time. I love it.
Yes, there's an address.
Which is
the address to write to, which I refuse to say. I can't get it right, so please, Zachary, please help me. Please.
You can email at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Oh, superb. See, this is why co-hosts are so important. I've had an absolutely wonderful time. You're amazing, and your shows are too. So thank you, and happy creating. Take care.
Happy creating. Bye-bye. Bye.
Coming late 2017, Season 2 of Subject Found. A new monster, a new story. For more information or updates on the show, head over to paulsadings.com and sign up for the newsletter while you're there. All that is lost must be found.